Exodus chapter number 2. And before we begin reading, I want to back up into chapter number 1 and read verse number 22. That's the last verse of chapter number 1, the book of Exodus. Exodus is the book of redemption. And we see the life and the story of a fellow named Moses. Everybody in the building, if you've been in church any length of time whatsoever, you have heard of the man named Moses. Here in verse number 22, Pharaoh charged all his people saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Now notice verse 1 of chapter number 2. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not, And when she could not longer hide him, she took from him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. His sister stood afar off to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself in the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept." And notice this phrase, "And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.'" Now remember, they're supposed to take his Hebrew boy and kill him. "And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Here is the story. You probably know it well. You've read it before. Pharaoh sends out a decree and said, "Kill all them little Hebrew boy babies." And we know Moses' mother hid him in a rock. She made him an ark, and she hid him in the bulrushes and prayed to God, said, "Oh God," no doubt she prayed, said, "Oh God, protect my son." And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter comes out, and she is bathing there and by the river, and all of a sudden she sees this little ark. Now there's 3 arks in the Bible: the ark that Moses laid in, and then Noah's ark, and then the ark of the covenant. And Pharaoh's daughter comes over here and she sees this baby. She opens the lid of that basket and that baby begins to cry. And she had compassion on this little baby named Moses. And she said, "Go find one of those Hebrew women that know more about these Hebrews than we do that can nurse this baby." And guess who they went and got? Moses' mother is sitting over there watching, said, "Hey, this lady will do it." And they said, "Come on over here and raise this baby for it, and we'll pay you to raise this little baby." Not knowing this, her own son. She's getting paid to raise her own son. Somebody ought to be getting a blessing right now to know that God's hand is about this baby. And you're going to get paid to raise your own son, and you're going to get to live in this particular place to raise that baby. My friend, I'm glad to know God's got a plan, God's got a purpose for each and every person. And I'm thankful that I can see salvation in this particular picture where the law comes down and says, "You kill them, they're worthy of death. They sinned against God, they've sinned against me, and I want you to kill them." The law, you look into the law of the mirror and it says you're unfit, you're dirty and unclean, and you must die. But all of a sudden grace comes by and opens up the lid, and that baby begins to cry out to God and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And grace had compassion on that little baby, and they brought him into Pharaoh's house and paid grace to raise him. Somebody ought to say amen. Here in chapter number 2, we see an encounter of salvation. Yes, it's a picture of salvation. I'm not saying Moses was saved from birth. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we see a a beautiful picture of an encounter of salvation. And then we read on in verse number 11, and Moses grows up and he begins to see his people under bondage. And the Egyptians are putting them under struggle and under bondage. All of a sudden Moses walks out there one day and one of them Egyptians started whooping up on this Hebrew dude. And Moses raises up, says, I ain't going to take it no more. And he goes and slew that man and hides him in the sand. Amen. I like Moses. Amen. Sometime you'll just take care of business. Amen. Don't wait on God. Just take care of it yourself. That's what I like doing. I just like, sometime God don't, He don't do things like we think He ought to do it. And it's as fast as we ought to do it. So we just help Him out. Anybody know anybody like that? Well, Moses is one of them kind of fellows, and he's wanting to help God out. That's all right. We're all human. We try to do that. But Moses gets in a mess. And the Hebrews say, Moses, what in the world are you doing? Because you've done this, you're going to bring more bondage upon us and more struggle upon us. And you've just made it harder on us. I wish you would just leave and get out of here because you're making this whole thing worse. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're seeing a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as so many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Jesus Christ comes to His own folks and tries to deliver them. And the people said, Jesus, you're making this whole thing worse. I wish you'd just get out of here. You're making the whole Roman bondage worse than what it was. With all of your miracles and all your doings and all your healings. Would you just please leave? Crucify Him. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. And he was rejected, despised and rejected of men. Moses was rejected from his own people, and Jesus Christ was rejected of his own people. They crucified him on the cross of Calvary. But then Moses, if you'll keep on reading, he goes to the backside of the desert, and you will not believe what he does when he gets to the backside of the desert. Old shepherd man, got a staff in his hand, watching the sheep. All of a sudden he goes to water and all these women out there, and guess what he gets on the backside of the desert? He gets a Gentile bride. Now somebody ought to be shouting, but now, guess what Jesus does after He's rejected of His men, of His own people, and they sent Him away? He goes to the backside of the desert to get you and to get me out of the pits of hell, out of the miry clay. He reached further down than I could reach up, and He brought me and set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. You ought to be shouting right now because He got you out of the backside of the desert and He married you and brought you into the family of God. Here in chapter number 2, we see an encounter of salvation. And then we find ourselves in chapter number 3. Let's hurry up and go to chapter number 3. In chapter number 3, we see an encounter for service. There's always an encounter of salvation. But in chapter number 3, we see an encounter for service. Now I want you to notice verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock. Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now notice verse number 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not thy thither, hither. Put off thy... I need some new glasses, folks. Y'all pray for me. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Notice he didn't put Muhammad in there. Amen. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. There's a place we ought to get to, Christian folk. We ought to get to a place where we come into the house of God and we feel the presence of a holy God. Sometimes we just want to hide our face from the presence of a holy God and just take our shoes off because we're standing on holy ground. And then the Lord said in verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Now in verse number 7, this is another message. Ain't got time to preach it today. But in verse number 7, I want you to underline, I have surely seen. On down about middle of the verse, he says, and have heard. And the last part, he says, for I know. I'm glad I serve a God that knows everything, that sees everything, and then done heard everything. In verse number 8, he says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land, and large, unto a land flowing milk and honey, the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Electric Lights. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse number 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. I want you to notice in chapter number 3, we see an encounter for service. I don't know about you, and I don't know how many times you've been out in the wilderness, or out in the forest, or out in the woods, and I don't know how many times you've run upon a bush, it's burning, and starts talking to you. But if you ever do, keep it to yourself. I can see Moses. Now listen, this is one of those things that when you get to heaven, you want to go and rent the movie. This is one of those things when we get to heaven, we're going to go over here to the library in heaven. You say, preacher, ain't no such thing. Well, I'm preaching right now. Let me enjoy it. And you go over here to the library and you get the DVD of this particular story and you take it back to your mansion and you watch this particular story because it's a funny story. People think God don't have a sense of humor. He's got a sense of humor. And Moses is walking through there, minding his own business, and all of a sudden his bush starts burning and he starts talking. Moses. Can you see the look on Moses? Yo, follow me now. I know some of you have asleep. But look, he looks and he goes, hang on a minute now. Something wrong around here. You said, what? And he tries to get a little closer, and this bush is a burning. Now, this bush is a picture of the nation of Israel. My friend, let me pause and say this. The nation of Israel right now is a bush that's on fire. It's on fire and it's oppressed, and people every which way, north, south, east, and west, are coming against that bush. But my friend, it's still burning and it will never be consumed. It may go through the fire of the three Hebrew boys, but they will not bend, they will not bow, and they will not burn because they're still God's chosen people. And Moses walks by this bush and it's a burning and it's a talking. Moses starts to get over here, and they said, hold on a minute, Moses. You're going to have to take your shoes off, because the place you fix to come to is holy ground. And Moses slides off his shoes, and he gets over there by that thing, and this bush begins to burn. And my friend, there's nothing that I despise anymore than dead, dried up religion. These churches today, we need the fire of God. Any old bush is going to do. This bush wasn't no different than any other bush out there. Amen. The only difference in this bush and the other 100,000 bushes out there, this one, my friend, had the fire of God on it. This one was different because of what was burning on the inside. Any old bush should do. You say, preacher, Can I be used of God? You sure can. You just need to get the power of God on you. You need to get the fire of God on you. Stop being dead, dried up, and look like you're on persimmon juice and dill pickle juice. Come on now, amen. Amen. Now y'all be hollering at ball games. Y'all be hollering at the referees. Somebody holler at me this morning. Amen. I don't mind preaching, have to amen myself, but I won't double pay if I have to amen my own preaching. Thank you, Brother Wagner. You're usually helping me better. You ain't helping me today. You're usually helping me better. And so we're walking up on this bush, and it's a burning. And Moses is like, hang on a minute. I can't go and tell Pharaoh nothing. I can't even talk right. I have a speech impediment. I can't talk. I don't know nothing. I ain't been to college. I ain't been to the seminary. I ain't, amen. I don't have anything hanging on my wall that says I know something. And God says, you tell them down in verse number 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. Well, you know who that is talking through the burning bush, don't you? It's called a theophany, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to the angel of the Lord. Jesus Christ in the New Testament says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. He said, I am the door. And if by any man come in, I will open unto him and he can come in. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I am the true vine. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. We're talking about the I Am. We're talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I remember when the soldiers come to get the Lord Jesus Christ, and they come by lanterns, and they got Judas Iscariot in front, following them, or leading the pack, if you will. And he goes up to the Son of God and he kisses him on the side of the face. And they said, hey, we're looking for this one that claims to be Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said this, I am He. And they fell down and went to the ground. They had to get up and dust yourself off. And they said, listen, we're looking for this man named Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I told you once, I'm telling you twice, I am He. And they fell down backward again. Amen. Now things of the devil, they go backward. Amen. That's good. We ain't going to run the service by going into that. I am. The same I am that spoke to Moses through the burning bush is the same I am in the New Testament said, I am He. And we see a call for service, an encounter for service. Now, number one, have you had an encounter of salvation? Number two, have you had an encounter of service? God didn't save you to sit on the pew somewhere and just take up space and breathe our air. He saved you to serve. He saved you to do something. Amen. He didn't save you to sit on your stool and do nothing and just watch and complain about everybody else and what they are doing. Amen. It's just like I told them fellas, I had to pick the color out for that office over there. I couldn't find nobody. I called. They won't answer the phone or nothing. And I said, bless God, I'm going to Lowe's and I'm getting the color I want. And they better not say nothing about it. If you want to complain about the one that don't do it, unless you want to do it yourself, I'll hand you the paintbrush. Amen. God didn't save us to paint. Amen. I ain't talking about that. But He did save you to serve and to do something for Him. Now let's go to chapter number 4 real quick. Chapter number 4. Israel was in a mess. But God sent a messenger. God sent a deliverer. You were in a mess one day. Some of you may be in a mess this morning. God will send you a deliverer. Ephesians 2:4 said, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. He said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, guess what? Christ died for us. Well, we were in a mess. Israel's in a mess. But God sent them a deliverer. He sent them a messenger. I'm thankful one day, sitting on the second row, Trinity Baptist Church, God found myself and I saw myself in a mess. And He sent me a messenger. And He sent me a deliverer. And He climbed up in my lap. And amen, I felt something in. Say, preacher, you ain't saved, but feel it. Something big as God moves in, you're going to feel something. Amen. Now let's get to chapter 4. And then we see an encounter in chapter number 4 of separation. I'm almost through. Watch. Verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, this is what He said. This is what the Lord said. I'm going to ask you the same question. What is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses, you don't think God's got a sense of humor? And Moses fled from before it. If you got any sense, you will. If you got any sense whatsoever, you will run when you see a snake. Listen, now Tracy's older brother, he used to have a snake. Pierre hears his tape, he'll probably laugh about it, but he was crazy then, and for having this crazy old snake in his house. Crazy. Something wrong with folks that want to... Amen. Now, he got that thing right. You know, he got married, got some kids. You know, you get rid of all that foolishness. But listen, you may have a snake in your house. If you do, you ought to get rid of it. I'm talking about a snake. Now, some churches handle snake. We ain't handling none here. We ain't handling none here. But John might. I ain't. And that's a standard we're going to try to keep if we can help it. We not having no snakes if we can help it. And if we see one, the best thing for it is to get you a hoe and cut its head off. Amen. Say, preacher, what about the ones that ain't poison? I ain't sticking around long enough to find out if it's poison or not. Well, preacher, if you got these certain out, I ain't getting that close. Amen. Now, this is what God said. And I'm winding down. I'm circling, trying to find a place to land. But here is an encounter of separation. Moses done had an encounter with salvation. He done had an encounter with service in this burning bush. But then, before he can go and convince the people that he has actually been with God, there's something that must take place. And God pinpoints that and says, hey, Moses, what's that in your hand? What do you got in your hand? Moses said, well, it's my rod. This is what I tend the sheep with. It's the only thing I know to do. I don't know nothing about no preaching. I don't know nothing about no leading the singing. I don't know nothing about teaching Sunday school. But the one thing I do know a little about, and I got a little security in, I know how to tend some sheep. And this is helps me to tend some sheep. He says, throw it down. Now, God, wait a minute. I'll throw down anything you want me to throw down, but don't take the one thing that I know a little bit about away from me. Don't take this one thing that I do know something about and take it away from me. Said Moses, throw it down. God, why do you want me to throw this rod down? This is the only security that I have. Moses, read my lips. Throw it down. Moses throws it down. It turns into a snake. And while he's a-running, because I was fixing to run out of carpet, God's like, hey, Bo, hang on a minute. Where are you going? I'm out of here. Don't y'all want to see this video?
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one to rent. You get to heaven, you have to stand in line a long time to rent that movie. That's going to be a funny one. And he's like, Moses, hold on a minute. Moses like, what? He's like, Moses, I need you to do something. Okay, God, you done took my rod. You done took everything I got that I know anything about. Now what do you want me to do? I want you to pick it back up. What you talking about? I'm telling you, it's a funny movie. And he's like, you need to go pick it up. God, we argued for 30 minutes about you getting it. Now that you got it, you want me to have it back. You can have the stick. You wanted it. You got it. And now you want me to have it back. Moses, go pick it up. And he goes over here, and this may not be in the Bible, but this is on the movie. And he goes, and anytime you're going to pick up a snake, if you're that dumb, you pick it up by his head, because that's the thing that's in business. That's the thing that will turn around and get you. And he's going for the head, and God's like, Moses, pick it up by the tail. What do you say? Say a little louder. I know I heard the burning bush, but I'm having a hard time understanding this one. Pick it up by the tail. He reached down and picked up the tail, and it turned into a rod again. You say, preacher, what's that got anything to do with us in Christian life? You tried to tell a funny story? Had to. Most of you understand. Now, this is it. God says, what's in your hand? You say, preacher, I got this. I got my wife here. I got my husband here. I got my children here. I got this brand new house. I've got this. I got two new cars. I've got all these. I got a good fishing boat. I've got a good deer hunting rifle. This is what I got. God says, throw it down. Because you'll never be able to do anything for God until you throw it down. What have I got, God? I do have some golf clubs. We ain't preaching on that. I only preach on stuff I don't do. I don't preach on overeating and I don't preach on golf. Amen. But in all seriousness, there's nothing wrong with playing golf. There's nothing wrong with deer hunting. There's nothing wrong with going fishing. Amen. But if it stands between you and serving God, throw it down. Throw it down, Moses. Throw it down. Why, God? Because I got to get the devil out of it. I got to get the devil out of this thing that you're clinging to. I got to get this devil out of it. I got to get the snakes out of your fishing boat. I got to get the snakes out of your two-car garage. I got to get the snakes out of your new house. I got to get the snakes out of your wife. Amen. I got to get the snakes out of your husband. Ladies, say, man, I wasn't going to leave you out. I wasn't going to leave you ladies out. I got to get the snakes out of my kids. Everybody ought to say amen about that. I got to get the devil out of it before it can be used. It's what God says. God, Moses, throw your rod down. Throw your rod down and pick up God's rod. Throw your wife down and pick up God's wife. Throw your husband down and pick up God's husband. Throw your kids down this altar and pick up and walk away with God's kids. Throw away, throw down that very thing that's standing in your way of serving God. The people of Israel will never believe your word until they know you have been with God and until they know there's nothing between you and God. If there's a rod between you and God, God says, throw it down this morning. There's an encounter with salvation. There is an encounter for service in the burning bush. My friend, before we go tell the world, there must be an encounter with separation. And there, listen, me included, starting right here in this, there, most everybody's got something standing in their way of serving God. God says, listen, before we go any further, before you ever going to lead them people out of the land of Egypt, before you ever going to do anything for God, we got to get this little rod thing straightened out. You know what that rod did? Once Moses picked up God's rod, it turned the water into blood. He raised that joker over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea just parted. When you pick up God's instrument, it'll be a fit vessel. Samson, it was a jawbone. Gideon, it was a sword. David, it was a slingshot. And God can use it all in your hand, but it must be first thrown down. Let God get the devil out of it. Amen. Let God get the devil out of it. And you pick back up God's instrument of service. How about you this morning? Are you saved? Are you serving? Are you separated? That's the invitation.